we're back here on Will Communication, Season 3, Volume 7, here with our very, very special guest, soon to be Dr. Anne McBride.
Not soon, but thank you.
It's very soon to be Dr. Anne McBride. We're here on Will Communication, Heritage Radio Network. You can find us every weekend live for the thousands in Bushwick and the millions listening worldwide here at 4:30 live, Heritage Radio Network. Otherwise, if you, for some reason, were working today and couldn't get a chance to listen to us live, you can, of course, find us on the archives, heritageradionetwork.com, broadcasting out of the shipping container in the backyard of Roberta's Restaurant, Bushwick, the fashion capital of the world, the other borough of New York. And we're going to introduce you today to a very special guest, a woman who I've been had the pleasure of knowing for some years. And her name is Anne McBride. She is soon to be a doctor, and she's going to tell us all about what she's going to be a doctor of. She's also a writer, a poet, a teacher. She has so many titles. When you receive an email from her, it's like getting on to Google Pages. So I'd love Anne McBride to introduce herself and let you know about a few of the things that she's working on right now.
Thank you. I'm not a poet. I was at some point. I think it stopped in sixth grade or something like that.
I think all Europeans are just poetic.
I was a published poet in sixth grade.
you probably earned more than you do now.
It's quite likely.
Especially with this Swiss franc.
Which has gone down. At the time, it was much higher. So I am a writer. I just finished a book that will be published next summer by Clarkson Potter called Culinary Careers with Rick Smilo of ICE about working in the food industry. I'm also the editor of the newsletter at the Institute of Culinary Education. I do freelance writing, freelance editing. I've recently done some work for Fine Cooking that will be coming out in the fall.
Your accent is much more pronounced on the radio, I must say. Since I've known you for 2 years, you actually sound very continental right now.
I'm forcing it a little bit. It's good for my...
it's very civilized to speak, to have not spoken English as a first language.
Really? I know when to push it a little bit, you know, it's helpful.
It is. It always adds a cachet, I think. That's mm-hmm. why so many of our entrees are appropriately named.
Yeah, exactly. So I know when to push it.
But in addition, you're also... We're going to talk... I think we're going to start to talk about your book because... Obviously, everybody here is trying to leech off the culinary careers in one way or another, whether that's through cooking or radio or restaurants. But what else? Aren't you also teaching a class right now?
I teach in a food studies program at NYU, a class called Food Issues in Contemporary Society for undergrads. I'm the director of the Experimental Cuisine Collective, which was a previous episode of Will Communication.
And we don't want to, we never like to retread on old topics here at Will Communication. We like to beat the crap out of them until they disappear from submission.
I'll do my best.
So I think we'll get a chance to talk. I'm sure yeah. that we have our audience is so vast that we can never really control who is listening today because the demographics are, they cross a lot of borders. So it's hard to know exactly what everybody would like to listen to, but since nobody else has the ability to stop me from choosing what I'm going to talk about. Although, despite from the wonderful support from my crack team in the production booth, that's Lorenzo and Nat the Engineer, who has been previewed again to feature on our Stump Nat the Engineer. And we're going to feature in our third segment. We're going to feature a contest between any listeners of Roberta's and Heritage Radio Network, Will Communication versus Nat the Engineer in a contest for a 24-ounce Modelo.
Mano a mano.
that was an incredible interlude. I can't believe you have the ability just to talk over me at any time. Nobody has that ability. My wife would like to have the button that you have there so that she can talk over me. So we're going to come back to Nat the Engineer, who's carefully studying up on all world trivia right now to be prepared for the mystery question on Will Communication. And just in case you're like Nat the Engineer and you like to be well prepared for your Will Communication show, what the one number, if there was one number in your whole life you could remember, it would be 718-497-2128, which is our call-in number here at Will Communication. 718-497-2128. If you have any questions for Anne McBride, or if you just want to square off with Nat the engineer and being on hold until I ask the question, don't forget Heritage Radio, 718-497-2128. So we're going to start talking with our esteemed author, Anne McBride. Soon to be doctor. I'm looking forward to the day when I can refer to her as Dr. Anne McBride.
It'll be around 2012, I think, at this point.
What year is this?
I don't know.
So there'll be an extremely long time.
Yes.
She's not a medical doctor. Not planning on being a med, not practicing, except in the kitchen or in the classroom.
Both.
So you're now a published author, or are you soon to be a published author?
I am, if you count my collaborations. I've written two cookbooks with François Paillard of Paillard Patisserie and Bistro.
Which, in English, he's known as Francis Paillard.
Paillard.
So we don't want to be fooled by Anne's sophisticated accent. This is actually a person that you may have heard of.
Yes, indeed. You should have. And so I've written two cookbooks with him, and one that came out last year called Chocolate Epiphany, and another one a few years before called Bite Size. And so now this new book is about all the different career paths that you can have. Not all, maybe, but many of the career paths you can have in the food industry. And I interviewed a little over 100 people for the book, including you.
That's right. I'm very proud to be a subject. Somehow they were able to determine that I had a culinary career, although I'm not sure what we qualified it as.
You're in the retail distribution and sales chapter.
I'm in the retail distribution. It's known as a bullshit artist. Stand-up philosopher. So I'm very interested in knowing, though, because I've always been looking for a way around the traditional career. So I would imagine that you met a lot of people who have sort of an unorthodox culinary career.
We actually really focused on people. We didn't focus that much on jobs that only one person in the world has, just because that we didn't think that would be the most useful for people wanting a book like that.
Or potentially not very marketable.
Exactly. But also because I do hear, you know, whether it's at NYU or with people I meet, just this week I have 3 phone calls with people who want to know a little bit how they can work in the food industry or change careers. So it's sort of using either existing skills that you have, or what are some of the all the different jobs. If you've been a chef for 20 years but you're really tired of working in the kitchen, would you want to work in research and development? You might make more money and have better hours. So there's a lot of stories like that of people who, you know, came from another field into the food industry or sort of made switches within the food industry or have a culinary degree and started in the food industry directly at 21, 22, something like that.
So who, for you, are you seeing that your audience for this book is people that are looking for a change, or people that are looking for to start a career, or is it sort of open for everybody that could be involved?
It's open for everybody. We really planned it as something that can be of use if you want to change career from outside the industry to into the industry, from the industry to the industry, or if you're just starting and you don't know. I mean, I have students at NYU who are about to graduate with a degree in food studies.
And are totally probably can't even speak or write the English language.
No, they're actually very brilliant for the most part.
I've read some of their papers. That's not true.
You have, actually.
They're not that brilliant.
That wasn't
NYU. Some of them don't even have spell check.
Yeah, well.
But can you?
Anyway.
I'd be interested to know. So really, you're providing a resource for the food community that maybe could be seen as like a corollary for culinary school education or a practical training, and then maybe sort of a guidebook that could help people see where it is they're going to fit in the food industry.
Yeah, and that's really the idea. To see where they can fit based on some sort of career advice that we have or education advice. Do you need to go to culinary school or hospitality programs, whatever? Can you get an MBA or a PhD even? And also, it's really based on practical advice. So that's why there's interviews with people like you and people like Thomas Keller, David Chang, Kelly Licken.
Famous people.
Famous people, but also less
people
famous.
Who are practicing.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell us, we're about to take our first break here on Will Communication at Heritage Radio Network. So what I'd love you to leave our audience with is, what's the most interesting advice or piece or tidbit or anecdote that you found and uncovered during your research for Culinary Careers, coming out next summer on Clarkson Potter by Anne McBride?
I don't know if I have just sort of one tidbit. Sort of generally, what was really inspiring is how positive everyone was, how much everyone in the industry really loves what they do. And that's something that I think comes out through the book, through the interviews with all the people. And that's something that, you know, you can pick a field where you would make, you can pick another field and you'll make more money. You may have an easier time. You'd work fewer hours, but you may not be as happy about what you do as people who work in the food industry. That was really the big takeaway message for me.
So that's a perfect point for us to segue out, because always my advice, as all of our listeners know, for anyone that's looking to go into the culinary profession is please, please, please do something else. So we're gonna come back after our musical interlude here with Anne McBride, Will Communication, Heritage Radio Network, heritageradionetwork.com. See you in a flash.
I get kind of moody when I see such beauty, and everything's beautiful in its own way.
When I see a fountain flow from a mountain, or see April shower bring flowers to May, I can't help but ponder, life is such a wonder, and everything's beautiful in its own way. Words can't describe what I feel inside.
Words can't describe what I'm feeling inside, and neither can they describe what what's bursting through your eardrums here on Will Communication, Issue 10, with Anne McBride. Second segment here at Heritage Radio Network, where you can find us every week at 4:30, with the possible exception of the following week while I'm looking for a secure landline from Bali. But we will be here. We will be broadcasting from the jungle. We will not let our faithful listeners down. We're here with Anne McBride, soon to be Dr. Anne McBride, published author of numerous books on pastry and chocolate with Francois Paillard, soon to be full author of Culinary Careers, due out next summer by Clarkson Potter. Here today to talk about all of the amazing things that she's working in the education and encouragement industry, as opposed to the discouragement industry that I'm a part of. Mm-hmm. And I want to welcome you back in after a long hiatus.
Thank you.
And I'd like you to know that all of the music today was stolen from Anne's iPod. Would you like to comment on where you heard that Willie Nelson song first?
I'm not sure, but Will admits to liking country even when I was in Switzerland.
And there's not so much, you'd be surprised about the country music in Switzerland.
There is actually a country scene. There are photos on my iPod too of a country festival that I saw, or concert maybe,
that I saw when I was there. I didn't know that there was any scenes in Switzerland.
There are. I'd be surprised.
I'd be surprised. I still follow the third man, which is, you know, that the only thing produced in Switzerland in the last 500 years was the cuckoo clock. And Roger Federer. So between the cuckoo clock and Roger Federer, I think there may have been a bit of a lull. But in that lull came Anne McBride.
Yes, exactly.
Our guest today. So I want to introduce a combination of our previous two segments on Will Communication. First, where we've dared listeners to call in on our call-in line of 718-497-2128 and try to answer our trivia question of the day. And we've also had a new and exciting introduction on Will Communication from last week, where Nat the engineer, Nat, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Nat the engineer, who has a button that allows him to talk over me, otherwise known as the all-powerful button of Oz. And Nat the engineer is going to be competing against our call-in listeners. So it's not really a fair fight, I can assure you. I don't know our listeners very well, but I would say Nat is probably smarter than you are. And I know he's in front of a bigger computer than you have.
Both
so
true.
This is really overwhelming odds are stacked, and it is his studio, so the odds are really stacked in Nat's favor. But we're going to put a 24-ounce Modelo on the line yet again, because I have two of them in front of me, and I don't know what to do with the other one. So we're going to put a 24-ounce Modelo on the line for the person who can answer the following question. One of our call-in callers, is that what they're called? Call-in callers.
Mm-hmm.
718-497-2128, or Nat the engineer, with the benefit of Wikipedia and other mindless tools of the internet that can solve questions just like this, which is, where did the Spanish lisp come from? where did the Spanish Lisp come from? From those of you who may not be familiar with the Spanish Lisp, it's, for example, how a person from Spain will say gracias instead of gracias. I think this is a very important topic here, featuring Anne McBride, who herself has a very distinguished accent. And I think we should use this segue back to Anne McBride and her distinguished accent to talk about growing up in Switzerland, Roger Federer, and being the director of the Center of Food Media.
Okay, that all goes together quite nicely. What about cheese chocolate watches? You're not putting that on the table.
Cheese chocolate watches. I think we're just going to skip that era.
Okay, that's fine.
I think Switzerland had a soft 300 years. What do you think? Let's skip the nonsense. What about neutrality?
Oh, I don't want to get into that. No politics.
All right. So that would be my one question. If I had a 50 questions on Switzerland, that would be it. Neutrality, Roger Federer. What else?
What do you want to know about neutrality? Are we really neutral?
Yeah, I don't believe that Swiss people are really neutral.
I don't believe so either. No, and the government isn't as neutral as it pretends to be, or has it been?
I think it's because of the abbreviation. For those of you who don't know, the Switzerland abbreviation is CH, and I think that's really confusing. I think it engenders a lot of problems over in Switzerland.
On one hand, it does make it easier because we're not picking a language.
What the hell does CH stand for?
It's Confédération Helvétique, so it's Latin.
That's
so it's not French,
nonsense.
German, Italian, or Romanche, you know. It just makes it simpler.
So what is it?
Confédération Helvétique. I haven't spoken Latin
Greece?
In a long time. It's Latin.
What is it, Greek? Italian?
Confédération Helvétique.
Okay, Helvétique. Okay, you can see the way that she can pronounce that very, very well. And that one of the reasons that she can pronounce things very well is because of her time spent as the director for the Center for Food Media at my favorite culinary school in the world, Ice Ice Baby, formerly known as Peter Kump's Culinary School.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'd like for Anne, because she's a distinguished educator, and we're going to learn more about the Experimental Cuisine Collective. While those of you at home are busy educating yourself to find out about the Spanish Lisp, can you tell us a little bit about your program as the director for the world-renowned Center for Food Media on 23rd Street in Manhattan, which coincidentally is right down the street from today's sponsor, TechServe. Your one-stop shop for all things Mac. 23rd Street between 6th and 7th. Unbelievably, even in a segue that defies logic, even for myself, you can actually visit Anne McBride at her role as the director of the Center for Food Media on your way from TechServe while fixing your iPod after having taken the L train to Manhattan from the fashion capital of the world, which is Bushwick.
You may have to call first because I'm not there every day. I'm actually there as a freelancer.
Are we going to give your cell phone over? Do you want to leave?
Yeah, of course. I'll give you my Google number.
Okay, please.
I don't know it, actually. I got one because it was fancy to have a Google number, but I don't.
Right. Well, that was a false hope for all of our listeners out there to get your phone number. But everybody was very excited at the chance of getting your phone number.
Sorry.
So let's talk about what the hell goes on. The Center for Food Media, I envision like guys in silver suits and like a big dashboard, you know, and pointing out points of the world that they want to take over.
That's one of the aspects of the Center for Food Media. Another is a little more modest and offers classes for recipe writing, recipe development, podcasting.
Podcasting?
Mm-hmm. So that you can...
Podcasting. I'm sorry. I don't know why. Whenever I'm here in Roberta's, in the backyard, in the shipping container, I always think about podcasting.
Podcasting?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's something in the air.
No, this is definitely podcasting. Okay. Publicity. So we have classes on how, if you want to become a food publicist or restaurant publicist, or if you're a restaurant and you want to do your own publicity, if you want to become a food stylist, what are some of the other one? We had class with television producers, et cetera, et cetera. So really a wide range.
So you're preparing all of the future chefs from ICE to never have to cook again.
Mm-hmm.
And to move into much more lucrative positions.
There's some of that.
Taking advantage of the beautiful exploitation of the culinary arts and turning them into mass media.
Yeah. There's definitely, a lot of the students from ICE take those classes because they don't want to cook or don't want to cook forever. No, not,
I know
they
you're
don't
not generalizing
cook
about that. Not no, forever.
Not forever.
Forever.
I think
at all would be a bit strong.
No, and I always encourage people, regardless of what they want to do, to work in a restaurant for a few months at least, or, you know, to gain restaurant experience. I think even if you don't want to make a career in the restaurant world, you really learn skills that will always serve you on your resume.
Well, but and also and media skills, which obviously for fans of Will Communication, we know that those are the two great tastes that can go together, cooking and media.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So when we come back, we're about to take yet another break, which is totally ridiculous, but we have no other way to divide up the time allotted to us than by actually taking breaks every so often. So what everybody really wants to know is how the hell, and I think this is how you're going to leave our listeners here on Will Communication, while our listeners are wondering what happened to the Spanish Lisp, how did a nice girl like you, Anne McBride from Switzerland, end up not together, as in the No Doubt song? How did you end up here in New York? When we come back on Will Communication, Anne McBride, Doctor. That I'm losing my best friend. I can't believe this could be the end. It looks as though you're letting go. And if it's real, well, I don't want to know. That's No Doubt, the world's favorite pop duo from Lucerne, Switzerland, home of Anne McBride. And we were actually, that was Will Goldfarb and Anne McBride singing Don't Speak from No Doubt's second album. And we're here with Anne McBride, Dr. Anne McBride. I think everybody now is it. I think Dennis Leary is now a doctor.
Oh, really?
Or Dr. Phil. I think there's a lot of false doctors. Anne McBride is not a false doctor. She's working for... She's actually probably paying for the right to be a doctor.
I am, yeah.
Which is a tragedy. But another travesty in the American education system. So where we left off here on Will Communication, aside from the exciting trivia question of where does the Spanish Lisp come from, that Nat the Engineer is busily scribbling away his notes to prepare a correct answer to win his 24-ounce Corona. Although I'm not sure, Nat the Engineer, are you actually 21 years old?
17.
All right, he's only, Nat the Engineer is not old enough to drink a 24-ounce Modelo, but he's going to present it to his partner in crime, my esteemed producer, Lorenzo Reggineri, who's right next door, who would be happy to drink, smoke, or whatever Nat is not old enough to do. I'm sure that he will be able to take care of it for him.
Lorenzo's in his late 40s.
Lorenzo actually died during the second season of Will Communication, but nobody's had the heart to tell him that he's actually a cardboard right now. He's a shadow of his former self. He's actually a cadaver. So Yeah, where's my laugh? Can I get a drum roll or something on that? Like, do I have a hi-hat? I
mean, you need claps. When you introduce your guests, you need to have a clap.
I need some punchlines, or at least an audience laugh or something.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here with Anne McBride, and we're going to be talking about her. We've been talking about her amazing work as an author with Frances Payard, and soon to be with Rick Smilo of Ice Baby, the Institute for Culinary Education. We're also going to be talking about her role at NYU in the food studies department, where she is a teacher. In addition to being a doctor, teacher, writer, poet, and tennis enthusiast, aside from just a normal Swiss neutral citizen, we'd like to talk, how the hell did a nice girl like you end up in a place like this?
Like this here?
Like right now.
Right now? I blame it on a boy.
Okay, so who is this boy? I think I may know this boy, but our listeners may not know this boy.
Well, to quote you, he's my cool factor.
Yeah, he's much
cooler. I'm not very cool.
You know, you sound very cool on the radio because of the French accent, but I can assure you...
I'm not.
Not really that cool.
No, not really. I'm quite reliable and organized, though.
If you have a meeting that you need to go to, or you need to be prepared for a studio, anything, I think... Actually, you're still not going to give your... You're going to want to give your email? I think, you know, if you want to get a hold of Anne, the best way is on her website, which is...
AnneMcBride.net. And Anne was an E at the end.
And please. How do we spell McBride? I mean, I'm always confused. Could we spell out Anne McBride for our guests?
AnneMcBride.
.net?
.net.
.net. .net, because she's not a com.
No, com is a huge public relation firm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you're soon to be a .com when you buy out the other Anne McBride.
Exactly.
Who is the other Anne McBride?
She's some big PR firm owner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And also, if you Google my name, you'll find a lot of hits for Dick Cheney's public relation person, whose name is Anne McBride. I'll admit.
I've always thought of you as a closet neoconservative.
Yeah, definitely.
Coming from your neutral homeland.
Uh-huh.
So who is this guy, and how the hell did you end up, and what the hell does it have to do with Louisiana?
I went to college in Louisiana. So basically,
where?
I really wanted
to
get
out of... Do they have college in Louisiana?
That's what my degree says. Maybe I was conned.
Which
University of Louisiana at Lafayette.
Wow.
The heart of Acadiana.
Oh, right? ULF. Or ULL.
ULL.
Oh.
Oh.
Maybe, isn't that a common Swiss name? Or is it a Swedish name?
That's probably more Swedish. So don't insult me by confusing the two.
They have very attractive women in Sweden. So I don't.
Yeah, not in Switzerland so much.
Not,
so
not
there's no
much.
Confusion
not
possible.
As much. No. They're so much shorter and everyone's a brunette.
Yeah.
There's not that many blondes in Switzerland.
No, there are some, but no, not as many as in Sweden.
Not natural.
Yeah.
So University of Louisiana Lafayette, what were you studying there? How the hell did you end up there from Switzerland in the first place? They have a big recruitment project in your hometown?
Yeah, in my hometown of 800 people, they had an outpost of the university. They dispatched people for our interviews. You know, we had alumni there, which totally convinced me to go and study there.
Or was it because of the similarity in climate?
Yeah, that was a big reason too. I didn't have to switch wardrobes or anything. I could use my parkas and duffel coats.
They're so appropriate in Louisiana.
Yeah.
In the bayou.
Yeah. So the bayous were a big reason. I wanted to go somewhere warm. I wanted to go somewhere big. And
is that a big school? I've never
17,000 people.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's enormous.
It's gigantic.
It's a village.
Not compared to NYU. It's a little tiny compared to NYU.
But compared
it was big
to,
compared, to,
compared
my village.
To Roberta's restaurant here at 261 Moore Street, it's fairly large.
Mm-hmm. So I went there and I met a boy at a Valentine's Day party that I crashed. He was the DJ at the party.
Wow. You took home the... Didn't John Cusack make a movie about that? Or was he the DJ? I don't understand. How do you take home... You know, I've always said that staff at a party are the easiest targets because... They can never leave. And they don't, you know, they're always, you know, they've always heard worse than whatever you could say to them. So how do you take home, this is really what our listeners want to know. How do you, when you go to a party, how do you take home the DJ?
I think having an accent does help.
That, and your accent yeah. must have been much
it
sharper.
It was much stronger then. And
did
it was
you speak
a little
English
southern
at all?
Too, a little bit. Maybe that helped too. No, don't speak English too well.
I think that's another important lesson. If you do speak English, try to mitigate that in some way,
yeah.
like mumble or drink heavily.
Oh, pastis also was a big tool in
yours
in
or
getting,
his?
Mine. Yeah.
Did you bring pasties with you in your bag?
No, but I had good, reliable friends who did.
So you drugged the DJ?
Yeah, with pasties.
For those of you who don't know, the Green Fairy. In the Green Fairy.
No, that's absinthe. But
pasties is the the version that's still served in bars, yeah, as opposed to absinthe, which has been outlawed. I don't know why, actually. Why has it been outlawed?
Because it was making you crazy. It's back to being lawful now.
I thought that was a Baz Luhrmann movie. Or is that a different scene?
I don't know. You're much more cultured than I am.
I imagine a Green Fairy and Nicole Kidman. I don't know. If those of you are listening and you have any idea what I'm talking about, and you can beat Nat the Engineer. Nat the Engineer, I'm sure, can answer this question faster than you. Is there a Green Fairy Baz Luhrmann movie, or am I just imagining this whole thing?
You're imagining it.
All right. Well, then I'm imagining
that was
it.
Easy.
So you drugged the DJ with absinthe, and yeah, then so where did you take him? Like, did you was he sleeping, and did you grab him by the ankles and drag him home, or did you have to wait for him to get off work?
The party got killed by cops.
Wow.
So it was much easier because he couldn't work anymore. So we ended up at another party where he was no longer staff; he was part of the revelers.
Interesting.
You know. So that
and
so
then you
cuts
could really,
help in
you
your
could
seductive.
Let your feminine wiles go to work.
Exactly.
Your Swiss, like, again, just like Roger Federer with his excellent technique,
yeah,
I can imagine that the Swiss precision, watchmaking, chocolate making, timekeeping, backhands, and apparently seduction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, just like Federer, he was not hot at all, but now the more successful he is, the hotter he becomes. There's something like that. You sort of grow on people as a Swiss person.
It's like, well, and I guess that's appropriate for a country that produces so much cheese. It's sort of like a mold that grows on you over time, and then and then you don't know what to do anymore. You have to either cut it off or just go for it.
Yeah, we're wash friends.
or wash.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I guess one of the things that, of course, everybody that listens to this show, for the thousands listening here in Deutschweck and the millions worldwide, are fascinated with everything that I do. And since you, I think something that people would like to know about is your involvement with the Experimental Cuisine Collective. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So the Experimental Cuisine Collective was launched in April 2007. It was a collaboration between you, Ken Kirschenbaum, who's a chemistry professor at NYU.
And a previous guest on World Communication.
And a previous guest. Episode 4? 6? Something
know.
Like that?
Well,
early September.
The numbers are not in sequence.
So. And Amy Bentley, who was a professor in the food studies department. And Amy knew that I was interested in the subject and that I probably had some useful experience to bring to the organization of the first.
And that you would
symposium.
Probably do all the shit that she didn't want to do. Oh, sorry. From an organizational perspective, I mean.
From an administrative perspective. Yeah, I mean, she doesn't have time to handle a lot of the stuff that I do. So, you know, shared work. And so we started... with a big symposium in April 2007 that brought together chefs, scientists, food scholars, food media, and we've been going strong ever since, having monthly meetings with exactly this type of people, both participating and attending. Food scholars.
But who, for example,
chefs.
Because I know that everybody out there is fascinated by celebrities.
So some of the most famous people we've had. We've had Dan Barbers that I'm sure your listeners would know.
They love, I'm sure, they are outside on Dan Barber's doorstep right now.
Right now. So Dan Barber was someone who came
waiting
to
see
to
if
us.
They can see him with Beyonce.
Oh, and Obama.
Obama was there?
He...
Or Obama was with Dan Barber.
Dan Barber, not yeah. with Beyonce that I know of.
We're going to start... This is what happens when you put Anne McBride on the radio. All of a sudden, we have Beyonce sleeping with President Obama.
At Blue Hill.
At Blue Hill Restaurant in the West Village. Unbeknownst, apparently, to Michelle Obama.
Or Jay-Z.
Or any of the Barbers.
Yeah.
That's really unbelievable.
Or maybe they all know and are covering up.
This could be, this. It's like...
This should be another show, I think.
Spring Watergate.
The Blue Hill Gate. We've had Harold McGee. We had Hervé Thys come in a couple of times. We've had you. We have...
Wiley Dufresne.
Wiley Dufresne.
Whose name, as I read on a website, rhymes with Smiley Blue Rain.
Oh, really? That's pretty. That looks like an Indian name. He should go by that, I think.
But so what is it that you hope, how do you see the Experimental Cuisine Collective fitting into your other myriad passions: doctor, teacher, student, scholar, writer, poet, and now Congress organizer?
World Congress, I think.
World Congress.
Let's think big. For me, one thing that, I mean, it's both, it allows me to learn about things that I don't know about. I was never good in science or, you know, any type of science.
I find that hard to believe.
No, trust me. really, trust me. So I'm learning a lot through that. But I think also what I can bring is I tend to make sure that we remember the food studies aspect of it or the cultural aspect of science and cooking. So sort of what can bridge the science and the hands-on cooking can be the history of looking at a certain technique or product, or we can provide context a little bit from my perspective in food studies.
Interesting. And I think that's probably, I would say, very similar to what we try to do here on Will Communication, which is actually, even though we make light of a lot of things and try to enjoy a good laugh, is have serious people talking about serious things and putting them together in a room and sort of saying, that's okay, that's cool, and that's what we're all here for in the first place. So I want to cut away very quickly because I know Nat the Engineer has been scribbling furiously on his notes in the office, and he would like to explain to you the origin of the Spanish Lisp before we wrap up here on our this is a penultimate edition. It's the penultimate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last, next to last. Prior to From the Jungle, Charlie's Everywhere, No Earthquake, Monsoon, No People Dying, which has happened all week, where Will Communication will be broadcast from shortly. Bali, Indonesia. Nat the Engineer, do you have the answer to the question of the day?
So the most common explanation is that it's actually a persistent urban myth, and it posits that King Ferdinand spoke with a lisp, so either one of two things happened. People were making fun of him and tried to imitate his lisp to mock him, or they would modify their speech in accordance with like class structure. So to sound classier, they'd try and speak like the king.
Right.
But neither of those things are true.
Those are just urban myths. Is that true?
Urban legends, yes.
So what is the actual origin?
No one knows.
So nobody knows the origin. Much like Will Communication, nobody knows the origin, but we know what it is not.
That's right.
It's certainly not any of those other things that could easily be attributed to urban myth. So we're going to leave you here on Will Communication Issue 3, Season 4, the second to last show. And we're going to have big thanks to Nat the Engineer, who is now the winner, or I guess in this case it'll be Lorenzo, our producer, who is the winner of the 24-ounce Modelo that Nat is not old enough to drink.
Congratulations, Lorenzo.
And we're going to wrap it up here with Anne McBride, doctor, author of Culinary Careers. AnneMcBride.net, AnneMcBride.net. NYU, Department of Food Studies and Nutrition, Food Issues in Contemporary Society Professor, Director for the Center of Food Media for Institute of Culinary Education, and a ton of other big words. Do you have any final words for our audience here?
I'm just very grateful to have been able to share this time with you and your audience.
Again, ever tasteful. Unlike your host, Will Goldfarb, here at Will Communication, wrapping it up here to the sweet sounds of Portishead, brought to you by TechServe, here at Roberta's, 261 Moore Street, Heritage Radio Network, heritageradionetwork.com. See you next week.